Because we have a morning prayer session, after this another prayer session, so we skipped this prayer, but they pray on. Second Corinthians is one of the most illogical books. Indeed, it's really illogical book. When I prepared this book, I keep reading and keep reading. Later on, it's hard to figure it out what's in the content. Usually, other books, it's once you keep reading, you know, from the first chapter to the last chapter, several times, that you get the sense, you know, there's a certain flowing, so you can get the idea. But Second Corinthians, I read and read, and I really had a panic when I prepare when I preparing this, because I don't get that, you know, sense of it. Then I think about the way to prepare is finding out the keyword. That really helps me a lot, you know, to open my eyesight to can see the whole chapter. So last time I think it's can you help? Simple, you know, the sometimes simple method help us to understand the whole picture, you know, whole chapter. Some of you here, you know, from even East Coast, I know some of the here even E2 when I was there for the student speech convocation now here, and I like to using the kind of drawing and pictures because it easier to remember, and easier to get the idea. Can you, last time, because I showed some little things, you know, drawing there the promise of God and then connect to the comfort and connect to the afflictions. So if you just get the three, you know, this diagram, only just three circles connected each other, then you can expand your idea about the whole chapter one. You can, you know, little things you can draw and then support that helps you to understand the whole chapter. I don't know, this is my way, so I respect your way, so this I can say only this is my way. Let's we go on to the chapter 2, 3, 4, and then we go into the content. What do you think of chapter 2? Do you get the idea about chapter 2? Oh, each one. Never mind. Using my voice then. Because fragrance, right? How do you spell it? Fragrance of Christ. It works? Wow, God help me. Because sometimes when you assign the student spiritual convocation, is I have to save my voice. I have to pray and I have to speak. Many times when I attend the spiritual community, I my voice was, you know, gone. And then later on, how come all the ministers, they the faith, you know, their voice is still survived, and then I learned my own technique. So. Fragrance, it's why I open to explain about the fragrance, because you want to get, you know, digest the about the smelling, so that you can expand your idea, understanding to reach to the whole entire chapter 2. So that's what I mentioned about the, you know, when you go into the restroom, then you bring out the, you know, the restroom smells, you know, that's why. But this is a different smell. What is the fragrance of Christ? How you can get this fragrance of Christ? What the Bible says, when you know the Jesus Christ, knowing the Jesus Christ is to get the fragrance of Christ. So knowing the Jesus Christ means what? You know, the Bible, 1 John mentioned it, God is love. So you know that Jesus Christ means you know the love, simply. So when you look at the 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, God is love. Yeah, God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, can tell that God is love. You understand the love of God. They use, you know, the smell of Christ come to you. You know, when Jesus, he had a foot washings, and then in the Last Supper, he talked to his disciples. He instructed his people, new commandments. I will give you a new commandment. What is the new commandment? Mark chapter 12, verse 30. John 13, let's look at the... John 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give it to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciple, if you have a love for one another. So here talking about a new commandment is a new fragrance of Christ. I give it to you that you love one another. So you can share my fragrance with others. And even as I have loved you, because I already released my fragrance to you. And that you also love one another. So that's why you love each other. Because my fragrance reached to you. Now you can share this fragrance each other. And verse 35. By this, since you share this smell of Christ, all men will know. And then all the people know that you are my disciple. Wow, you are the one to know, you are the one who can share the fragrance of Christ, which the other people can tell. The smell come from you, it came from Christ. So you, other people testify that you are the disciple of Jesus Christ. Yeah. When you look at all the disciples, 12, you know, all the, except the Judah, but you know, all the disciples, what they did, they throughout the 3 years of ministry of Jesus Christ, they follow Jesus Christ. They learn the love of Christ. So after 3 years, and then Jesus died on the cross, and then he ascended to heaven. And then Jesus sent them the Holy Spirit. They receive the Holy Spirit. They receive the power. You know, according to the Acts chapter 1, they receive the power, means they receive the strong fragrance of the Christ. So they have enough fragrance to impact to other people too. So they become a witness of Jesus Christ. This is a, you know, you can use your idea to understand, to connect with the fragrance of Christ. Then it connect to the all the, you know, sense of other things too. So what happened is if you do not receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, definitely you cannot release the fragrance of Christ. Human nature is a sinful nature. We know that. Through the prayer, we can control ourselves. Through the prayer, we can, you know, get rid of the filthiness from us. So the fragrance coming to us to release. So fullness of the Holy Spirit is the essence to this fragrance of Christ to be magnified, to release, to impact. So the fragrance of Christ, we can say this is a love. But this is my, you know, diagram, so you can do your own. Yeah. Chapter 2, verse 4. I try to do my best to put into the words in the 2 Corinthians. Chapter 2, verse 4. For out of much afflictions and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be made sorrowful, but that you might know the love which I have especially for you. So you can see here the Apostle Paul's, the desire, Apostle Paul's emotionally, how much attached to the member in Corinth. So he has a strong desire. It all came from the love. Even though he wrote the 1 Corinthians to instruct them and rebuke them, but this is the purpose for let them to be better. So the outcome maybe kind of a little bit sorrow, but actually his intention, the under it is true love. That's what he's talking about. So fragrance of Christ, love. At the same time, he's talking about, later on talking about, since I give you too much sorrow. I give you too much. So maybe your sorrow, he feels sorry at the same time, so he asked them to forgive them. If you give it, you already enough to give them, the judgments, maybe enough punishment, which is, so maybe they have enough shame themselves. Now I suggest you, forgive them. If they repent, bring them into your bosoms. So holding them. And that's what the later on mentioned that verse 7, 8, and 9 and 10, you're talking about forgive them. And that's showing that he's his idea. Sorrow. I think it's sorrow and also the sorrow, I don't know what your Bible version says, but sorrow and what is the chapter 2? Is that your version says sorrow from the verse 1? The many words of sorrow come out anyway, but this is sorrow. Sorrow is came from the love. You know, the Paul rebuked them, encouraged them to correct their way, but the word itself, it come out of the sorrow from the Apostle Paul's love. At the same time, this word conveyed to the member in Corinth, they also sorrow because they are sin, they're a sinner. So what the Apostle Paul expect is their sorrow is become a truly the positive sorrow to change, to be better, to repent themselves, to understand the love of Christ and bring back to the fragrance of Christ. Become a true Christian. Now his wish is, I want you to be a true Christian. You can change yourself. Of course, my message make you sorrow. I understand. Even I myself sorrow. That's why I send this message to you. But my sorrow is came from the love of Christ, true love. So you also, maybe when you received this message, of course the words itself may be a little harsh to you. So you can sorrow too. But this sorrow help you to repent, change yourself, to understand the love of Christ so that you can come back to the release, true fragrance of Christ. But there's a two kind of people, we know that. Some people, they just close down their heart, which is, they become this word, the word come out of the sorrow, it turned to be their own judgments because they don't want to change it. You know, during the time of Jesus Christ, he preached a lot, all the wonderful message, especially those who do not repent, he very harsh way to, you know, to sharply criticize them, just like a Pharisees, Sadducees. But actually the message out of the Jesus Christ is, all the message is come out of his love. Do you agree? But some people do not accept it, and turn out to be their own judgment. Is that true? Yeah. The fragrance itself is so sweet, and it's a wonderful smell. But those people do not take it and turn out to be their own judgments. This is a two side of a coin that we can say. Those who accept the fragrance of Christ, it's their own blessing. But those who do not take it, it turn out to be on their own judgments. And Book of John talking about Jesus come to this world not to judge. His purpose to come to this world to save all the peoples. But he also mentioned that, I'm not judge you, but my word on the last day will judge you. Is that make the cover the whole chapter 2? So true fragrance of Christ has a joy. Joy and peace and satisfaction. That's why Apostle Paul says, rejoice all the time. Rejoice all the time. And then what he says? Rejoice all the time. Suddenly I stuck. Rejoice all the time. And also, all the circumstance, thanks to God. All the circumstance. How you can possibly you can thank to God all the circumstance? Because you understand the love of Christ. When you understand the love of Christ, no matter what circumstance, you can rejoice all the time. Indeed, it is true. Hopefully cover the whole chapter. Yeah. So few circles actually the cover entire chapter 2. So when you I do not just ask you to read, you know, the Second Corinthians. If you keep reading, actually after finish you don't know what's in the content. So it's better somehow draw something to make remember, so that you can find out the keywords and key verse, and then divide the section, and then draw the picture. So I use index card this way. So it's you have to use your own method. Do not just read the Bible. I realize if just no thinking and read the Bible later and forget everything. Oh, what's in there? Oh, I don't know. It's the Word of God. You know. Well, still it's right, but. One time I when I was assigned to the Chicago church, some brothers, I said, oh, it's hard to pray 30 minutes. I said, I had the same sense. 30 minutes is not easy. You have to pin your need. But thing is, if you know what you pray, then it's okay. It is okay. So I asked them to, because at that time there's a new, I think it's new, yeah. So I suggest them, use an index card, write about 10 items that you want to pray to God. So in the daytime, you can look at about the 10 items, each one for 2 or 3 minutes. Then what happens is toward the end, you realize you pray already 30 minutes. So that helps you a lot. You know, sometimes when we pray, we just wander around. Sometimes, have you experienced? Here is it's speaking tongue, but here is somewhere, you know, it's just like a, it happens. So index card helps you to make it organize your prayer. So we need two kinds of prayer. One is routine prayer. Routine prayer is when you get up, that you pray this list on, that you can pray for it. And then our church, you know, they give us like a prayer request, you know, from the GA. There's the list. You can tell your spirit is moved. Then you can pick them up. Or it's good if you pray everything. You know, it's good. So, but I think the most important thing is you and your family and your church circle first. Do not skip over to other, you know. Before you pray, you and your family, your church, and pray whole world, you know. Oh, I pray for whole world, all the people to be saved. It's okay. You don't have to pray that way. There is, you know, you don't have to. But things that are very precise, that your feeling can attach to that, the prayer. So you can pick them up first. And then once you pray this, you know, still you have more time, and then pray one by one more, which is you pray and your family and somebody you bring into the church, or you plan to bring into the church, and pray for them, family, your matter, and then church, all the brothers and sisters around you, and the minister for the church who are helping the local church, and then the minister in our GA, remember my face, please, in your prayer, and then also all the church around in the USA. Actually, once you pray this much, they spend, you know, already time gone that much. 1984, after the NYTS, what happened is at that time, I decided to pray for the older NYTS, those who attended at that time. Now it's too much. It's 140. If you make a list, it's too many. You know, it's a little hard. But at that time, it's not that many. So I make a chart. I'm really bad to memorize the name. I'm really sorry, because sometimes I, you know, to look at your name first, and please understand, you know, my memory is really bad. So please understand me. But I remember your face. Yeah. That's why I smile to you. So. Anyway, so it's a pray, you know, pray is a connecting one by one. This is what we can pray to God. This is a way we can sincere to pray. Otherwise, we just something that, you know, wow, and a big one, and just hear the tossing, the big one. Doesn't have to do that. Something that you can, you yourself, and then something that you can pray within your promises and on another extent. Then each time you expand your prayer, it helps you. This is, we can say, another blessing of God. Yeah. Oops, let's go to chapter 3. When I look at the chapter 3, I find out the words that, verse 2, you are our letters, which is, you are my letter. You know, simply it is, you are my letter. And then I think about the you are my letter means, what it means, you are my letter. If you look at the verse 1, are we beginning to commend ourselves again, and that we need some letter of a letter of commendation to you, or from you? I don't have to bring any letter to prove myself. But you are my letters. I don't have to recommend any. I don't need any recommendations, letter of recommendation. But you yourself is my letter, which is you can tell who I am. So it's you are our letters. Later on, the apostle Paul further explained that you are letter of Christ. Then I picked the letter of Christ. Letter of Christ, I picked this one as a whole chapter. verse 2, that you are my letters. When we preach the gospel, and I you know, when I'm serving the church, and then they are my letters. I'm proud of them. But at the same time, they have some difficulties. They have some problems. Problem also is my letter. It tells us the Apostle Paul, he's responsible for that too. That's what he's talking about. And not only the good things, but also there's a problem also he included. It's my responsibility. So this is the letter, which is the bottom of the letter is the love of Christ. It is love. When as a minister, as a church member, if you have a full of love toward the church, it is important matters that have a responsibility. You know, some says that, you know, look at the children, they have no responsibility, they don't care. You know, they only know the candies, they only know the ice creams, you know, they only know something they need in a toy. They don't like to share. That's their nature. They have no responsibility. They don't know how to clean up. They know how to mess up, but they don't know how to, you know, clean up. Wow, I can tell. And once they know, they spread everything they enjoy. But last time to clean up. Clean up, clean up. Everybody clean up. And they say, they just go away. And so we have to clean up. I and my wife have to clean up. But that's their nature. They have no responsibility. But why I and my wife to clean up all this mess, their mess? Because I love them. Because they are our letters. So I love them. So whether they have there are some problems or their weakness, it's my weakness. So I have to clean up their mess. Yeah. Because love can care. Love can have responsibility. This is important things. So when you work for the church, when you are the member of Christ, then you are the letter of Christ. That's a sense of it. So when you look at the church, you have many things to complain. Oh, this church has no love. How come this church after finish nobody clean up? Ah, I have to do this. And somebody don't do that. Oh, come on, what kind of church is that? Then what that means? You have no love. Actually, you complain to other people there's no love, but actually pinpoint is that I have no love. But if you truly have a love, you know how to clean up the damn mess. That's a true love. It is. Yeah. Letter of Christ. Okay. How the letter of Christ can be formed, you know, through the Spirit of God. It makes sense because in the Old Testament time, the Israelites say, today is the Sabbath, you have to keep the Sabbath. You have to come to the church, otherwise you'll behead or you're stoned to be dead. You know, there's no, which is physically, you have to show up yourself. So all the Ten Commandments written in the stone tablet, Ten Commandments, that's what the Apostle Paul explained. This is a law. You should do it. Since you are my chosen people, you should do it. But at the same time, actually God wants them to keep the Ten Commandments from their heart. But it turned out to be the human cannot do that. So they keep the commandments physically. So it's only in the tablet of stones. But now in the New Testament, it's different. God sent us the Holy Spirit. So change our life, move our heart, and our hardened heart to change to the softened one. So our heart is now softened, which is we can observe the love of God, observe the Word of God, truly, with a pure heart. So the Word of God, before is only in the tablet stone, which is a tablet stone and I, and there's some distance. Well, you know, it's just some distance.
the stone itself, I myself. But now it's different. Because God sent us the Holy Spirit. And Spirit move, create us in the kingdom of God in our heart. And there is His temple within us. And then give us the Ten Commandments. So where is the Ten Commandments now? Ten Commandments are written in our heart. So this is within our heart. So letter of Christ, before in the Old Testament, we can say it's a comparison. The Old Testament is a tablet stone. Ten Commandments is in the stone. But now, in our heart. So letter of Christ is where? In our heart. So commandment of God is here. That's why it says the letter of Christ. We know how to keep the Ten Commandments. We know how to follow the Word of God. Because the Holy Spirit. How precious it is. Later on, he explained about the two kinds of, verse 7. If the ministry of death, verse 7, in letters engraved on stone, came with glory, so that the son of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face fading, it was as it was. And on and on and explain. Also, verse 6, there's explained the two different sides. That the servant of the new covenant, not of the letter, but on the spirit. For later it kills, but the spirit, it gives a life. So the two different things he explained, Old Testament and New Testament. One is a kill. So it's not the good words. But the other one is a life, which is life and death. And at this time, the Moses lead the Israel people, the Israelites and his people. So this work also is a very important work. Don't you think that God chose them? God also chose Moses to lead these people for in his way to be sanctify them, to lead them to occupy the land of Canaan. It is important work. But in the New Testament, but still Moses cannot do that, to help them. After certain limit, his own limitations. Of course, he helped them, but there's a limitation. Because Moses lived in Israelites, but still, all 600,000 people, you remember, they all perished on the wilderness of 40 years. That's his limitations, don't you think? He is a great leader, but he led these people, but all they perished on the wilderness. So it turned out to be, it's a kill. Even his work. But New Testament is different. Jesus came to this world, dying for us, ascend to in heaven, and send us the Holy Spirit, and he assigned to all the apostles, and let them to go out to preach the gospel. Now, it's a time they send the true message, letter of Christ, into their heart, so give them a true life. Before, cannot do that. There's a limitation. But now the New Testament, is this ministry is under the new covenant, and we how precious we are, you and I, all the brothers and sisters, because we are the priest, royal priesthood. So this time there's no such things, but now we have this. Our working functions, our life, our doing this for the Lord, for the life, and new hope, and for the satisfactions and true satisfactions.